Well, there comes a time in your life when a move to an assisted living facility may be the best option for yourself or maybe for a loved one. And when that time comes, I think it helps to have plenty of good information at your fingertips. And we'll get some of that information or a lot of that information today here on the Ideas Network as we talk with a couple of guests. Otis Woods is the administrator of the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Otis, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Also, Bob Lightfoot. Bob is a shareholder in Reinhardt's healthcare practice specializing in long care assisted living and senior housing matters. And Bob Lightfoot, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be here.
Great to have both of you here. And as you listen to these guys talk, keep thinking about it. Have you made the decision to move a loved one to an assisted living facility? What questions do you have about assisted living? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. What does the term assisted living really mean? There are more than one, I guess, option for that. Otis, you want to talk about that first?
Sure. Assisted living really refers to a range of services and supports that an individual will receive in one of the settings that the department licenses or certifies. It's not a skilled nursing facility or nursing home because individuals in these settings are not at a medical compromised level that they are in a nursing home. But it's really someone who wants to live independently, who continues to want to live independently, but who needs some help, some support from caregivers to live out their lives or to carry out their daily lives.
And Bob Lightfoot, you are a shareholder in Reinhardt's healthcare practices, and you specialize in long-term care, and that's, I guess, right. one of the aspects or one of the types of assisted living that we have.
Well, we have really four types. Adult daycare is considered assisted living, but it's not a residential option. Other than that, we have adult family homes, which people kind of could equate with group home when they hear that term. That's a four-bed facility. Typically, it's a home. Just like it says adult family home, and it can care for a variety of different types of people. Typically, we see a lot of intellectually disabled folks living in those kinds of facilities, but they do take care of elders as well and physical disabilities, people with physical disabilities. Then we have a community-based residential facility. That's another type of assisted living facility, and that you would think of as providing a little higher level of care. A lot of medical care can be provided in those types of facilities. They're called CBRFs. They're also licensed by the department. Otis oversees that. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have residential care apartment complexes. Those are called RCACs. And it's just like what it says. It's an apartment. It has certain requirements for a separate living space, a sleeping space, also required to have a kitchen. And you would think that there would be a little less services provided in that type of situation. In addition, you cannot be admitted to an RCAC if you have an activated healthcare power of attorney or you're under guardianship. So that's a big distinguishing feature between a CBRF and an RCAC.
So there's a lot of options out there then, Otis.
Yes, there are. And when we receive phone calls from consumers or family members about, okay, what do I need to do? We ask that first they really start with the aging and disability resource centers, especially if there's some financial issues involved. And so the ADRCs provide a wealth of information on how to choose an assisted living facility, making visits to a variety of the different types of facilities that we regulate here in Wisconsin. In the end, we want consumers and families to make the best choice for their loved one. Generally, at that time of your life, you're in your 80s, most likely when you're moving into a facility. It is the maintaining social relationships, connections to the community as long as possible. You may get to a point where you're no longer able to live in your own residence, and so an assisted living facility is a valuable option that's available in our state, and they're doing fantastic work here in our state.
And I should have been just so almost back up. I should have asked you this right away. You're the administrator of the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health and Social Services. And maybe give us an overview of what all that goes there.
Sure. We have a variety of providers that we license or certify: nursing homes, hospitals, home care agency, personal care agencies, and the various types of assisted living facilities. We have a number of staff that that go out and conduct the inspections of these locations to make sure they're meeting the requirements either under state law or federal law, and talk to residents and families and guardians and advocacy groups about how things are going as we complete our reviews. And then we share the information. We share it with our partners in our Medicaid funding programs, our managed care organizations who are really managing the care of the individuals who are publicly funded. And we try and get as many people, information to as many people that want to know what's happening in our assisted living facilities.
Yeah. Boy, there have to be a lot of these facilities in Wisconsin. Do you have any idea how many? Well, you would have to have an idea of how many there were.
Sure. The ones that the department, through our agency, oversees, there's about 4,100 of them. And the most of them being the adult family homes, those 3 and 4 bed group homes, and the other large category of the community-based residential facilities. Now, that's the Division of Quality Assurance. The managed care organizations that work for our Medicaid agency review the 1 and 2 bed adult family homes, and there's about 2,500 of those. So all in all, we're looking at nearly 7,000 of these facilities in our state.
And the 1 and 2 beds aren't licensed.
They are not licensed, okay. And the, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just thinking about this, and the number of people who were born, we kind of have a bulge of people coming up, don't we? That
absolutely,
Bob Lightfoot.
Yeah, you know, it was about probably 10 years ago now, as I recall the statistics that I review from DHS, where the number of assisted living beds actually overtook the number of skilled nursing home beds. But yes, you're right. There is going to be an ever-increasing need for these types of facilities. You know, they used to be based on a social model back in the 80s when assisted living first kind of came into being in Wisconsin. You know, I dare say it's kind of flipped over into more of a medical model as we sit here today. So many of the folks that would have been in nursing homes 10, 15 years ago, they're now in assisted living and in receiving care and services there.
And that's probably better.
It is. It's an option. It's an option for them. There are, the department implemented over the last 15, 20 years, flexibility and use of public funds to allow individuals to, rather than residing in their nursing home, to select an assisted living facility that can meet those services, their needs, at or better than the nursing home environment. But as Bob indicated, it's now beginning, there's now more medical services provided in the assisted living facilities. And it's something that we are all, as a stakeholder community, keeping a watchful eye on, because we want to make sure that when you're doing that, you're equipped to provide those services. And if not, then really should an individual be considered another a location like the nursing home that has more medical staff on board? But for the most part, we it's great to see that seniors are availing themselves of these assisted living options.
For sure. Carrie in Fort Atkinson has a question. Let's go back there. Carrie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are. What's on your mind?
Okay. I can't stay long here, but I heard your guest say something about how people who went into the senior apartments could not have health care powers of attorney, and I'm really wondering why that is.
Otis, you want to start with that?
Hi, thank you for the question. The law does not allow an individual to be admitted to a resident care apartment complex if they have an activated power of attorney for health care or a court-appointed guardian due to some level of incompetence. But once they are there, if that happens, if they subsequently then are appointed a poverty return for health care after they are admitted into the resident care apartment, come, then it's incumbent upon the facility to determine whether or not they should continue to reside there, because when you have some type of incapacitation, there may be a potential safety concern.
Right, and supervision becomes an issue as well. And Otis is right. You cannot, as I said, you can't be admitted to an RCAC with an activated health care power of attorney. You can have a health care power of attorney, but in order for that to be put into practice, into action, there has to be two physicians that deem that person incapacitated.
Yeah, okay. I missed the word activated, I guess, and I understand that. And, you know, my husband and I both have them because my parents really needed them, you know, but they didn't go into apartments. My other question has to do with cost. Both my mom and dad, having been in, you know, different facilities over the years, and we've had to move them for various reasons, from worries about possible abuse to just other things. But I've always been very active in being there for my parents and visiting a lot. And I think what's really troubling people here, especially in Wisconsin now, people that I talk to that are older, is, you know, the business of the cost going up. There's one in Jefferson County that used to be Countryside, I believe, and when my dad was there, it was maybe $7,000 a month. The private care one that came in place of it now charges about $13,000 a month, at least for some of the people that have had to leave. They just couldn't afford it. And with the baby boomers coming in, that's going to be huge. So is the idea that Medicaid could well be cut in the state of Wisconsin.
Hmm. Well, cost certainly is an issue, and it's sort of market-driven. You know, I'm not familiar specifically with that community, Countryside, but I would imagine for that price, there's probably a lot of supervision that is being needed, or something's driving that cost. But it is market driven, and you know, I would urge you just to, you know, to look around. There are a lot of facilities. There's a lot of resources available to find good facilities.
As I was looking, and we're going to have to take this up after our news break, but as I was looking at some of your data, Otis, and figures, I was impressed with you. You had a pretty good handle on different parts of the state and who charges more and who charges less and what the averages are. And, you know, Carrie, we'll get into that. We're going to take a look at the news and weather. First, Otis Woods, Administrator of the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Bob Lightfoot, shareholder in Reinhart's healthcare practice. We'll be back right after the news. The move to an assisted living facility can be, you know, it can be difficult. And our guest today can help answer your questions, maybe for yourself or for loved ones. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. In the studio with me, Otis Woods, Administrator of the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and Bob Lightfoot, Bob, a shareholder in Reinhart's healthcare practice, specializing in long-term care, assisted living, and senior housing matters. I hope you'll join in with your questions. What do you what would you like to know about assisted living in Wisconsin? You can join in our conversation. Call us at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And just before our break, we were a caller asked about costs and mentioned a pretty high number, $13,000 a month, which seemed awfully high to me, but what about prices and costs and so forth?
Well, in terms of...
Go to you first, Bob Lightfoot.
Sure.
Sorry.
That's okay. In terms of, you know, paying for assisted living, you either pay for it privately with your private funds, and that can be also through a long-term care insurance policy that you have. A lot of those actually have assisted living features to that. So if you have one of those types of policies, you should probably check that out. And then the other, if you're publicly funded, going to be publicly funded, which we think of as Medicaid. We do have a Medicaid waiver program here in Wisconsin to pay for assisted living through the family care program, but the entry point to that is the Aging and Disability Resource Center in your county, the ADRC, and that's how you, that's the first point of entry someone should consult before entering the assisted living if you're going to be publicly funded.
And what's that again? Run that by me once more.
The Aging and Disability Resource Center. They're called ADRCs.
Okay, ADRCs. And Otis, I think Wisconsin is a pretty good program, assisted living program, compared to other states.
Yes, we've done a lot of work, the stakeholder community, in making sure that the quality of care is at an excellent level or high level in our state. We enter into a number of collaborations, stakeholder collaborations. The one that's really getting national attention is called WICSEAL. It's Wisconsin Coalition for Collaborative Excellence in Assisted Living, long term. But basically, it's a group of stakeholders from the department, from the three trade associations that represent the assisted living community, our University of Wisconsin system, and looking at quality information, quality metrics that will hopefully drive the quality forward. And for us to look at it from the regulatory perspective, what do we see are some of the issues that we're seeing as we conduct our reviews and inspections and bringing it to these discussions and having the members that participate in that WICSEAL program compare how they're doing with some of the information we're doing. We're getting very good results. More and more assisted living facilities that are members of some of these trade associations are joining WICSEAL, and it's great because there's no emphasis on regulatory oversight. It's the emphasis is on quality and quality metrics.
And we have very good trade associations, Larry, in the state here. We have the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association. I'm actually a board member of that association. We also have Leading Age Wisconsin, which is kind of the not-for-profit facility side, long-term care facility side, and then the Wisconsin Healthcare Association. That would be the for-profit side. Each of these three trade associations that include assisted living facilities have developed their own WICSEAL program, as Otis talked about. And so that's one way to find, you know, if you want to, a facility that is meeting more than just the bare regulatory minimum requirement.
So you'd look for that. Is it a seal, like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, or is it not that, of course? But
no, you would just, if you're inquiring at an assisted living facility, you would simply ask, you know, are you a member of the WICSEAL program?
Ah, there we go. Lots of callers online, so let's go to the phones. Kyle in Milwaukee, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I just had a question. I know that we have higher unemployment in northern rural Wisconsin. I wanted to know if we've ever explored options into maybe having nursing homes in those communities to help with the long-term job loss that's up there.
Okay.
Well, part of the issue there, Kyle, is that there's the population is very sparse up there in terms of number of assisted living facilities. And, you know, you bring up a good point that we do have a kind of a worker shortage in assisted living on the caregiver side that's constantly being addressed and worked on through the associations I mentioned. But, you know, it would be a good idea, and there are a number of assisted living facilities in the northern part of the state, say north of, you know, Highway 8, somewhere up there. Mm-hmm. But yes, because of the population, there aren't all that many.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much for calling. And kind of to go along with that, Pat in Middleton thinks that the aides in assisted living are not paid very well. And she was told that there's a cap on what they can be paid. Is that true? I don't think that's true.
That's something that we don't look at. That's an employer-employee thing that that our regulations do not cover from where we are as a licensing agent for the state.
But there's not a cap.
Not to my knowledge.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Steele in Appleton, thank you for calling.
Yes. My mother's been in a couple different assisted living as she was getting more infirm, but some families should look at the contracts, and some of the companies now say that any recourse of is arbitration instead of going to a lawyer. So you might want to read the fine print, and you know, some people think it's good, some people think it's a boogeyman, but just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. That is very important for a family member. You know, you really should vet the facility. You really should be looking at the admission agreement very closely, because that, in effect, is your contract. That's, you know, the resident's contract with the facility. So very important, yes.
Well, Otis, is there help for people, you know, in sort of reading through it? Because sometimes those contracts, your eyes can glaze over, not necessarily for these, but I've had to look at a fair amount of contracts in my life. And
I think if families have some questions, we work very well with our colleagues over at the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. It's the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program in the state of Wisconsin. They may have resources that can help guide you through some of what you should be expecting when you're looking at some of these contracts. Most families may hire a private attorney to help them navigate those admissions agreements, if you will. But we want consumers to be as much informed as possible before they sign on the dotted line that they're going to pay for services, to make sure that they know what they're going to be receiving for their dollars.
Yeah. And for each of those three facilities, Larry, that I talked about, the adult family home, the RCAC, and the CBRFs, the contracts can be vastly different as well. For an RCAC,
RCAC?
Residential care apartment complex.
Okay.
In addition to the admission agreement, folks are going to have to look at signing on a care plan and agreeing to that, and a lot of other things. So, you know, they should be looking at those closely.
Nathan in Walworth County, it's your turn. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for the show, and thanks for the opportunity to share with you about a veteran's pension for those who served during a period of war.
Yes.
Not only for the veteran, him or herself, but also for the veteran's spouse, the surviving spouse. And the pension helps pay for assisted living care, not only in an assisted living facility, but also in-home care. And people can go to their county veteran service office. There's a county veteran service office in each of the 72 counties here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Very good,
Otis,
information.
Yep.
Very good information.
Yeah, you're getting nods of approval here, Nathan. Thank you very much for that information. Bob in Green Lake, it's your turn. Bob, hi.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I am a commercial realtor and have been doing that for, gosh, far too long, 35 years. Anyway, had a site that was, I thought, ideal for an assisted living developer. Sure enough, we found one, an out-of-state developer from Florida. They do a lot of business in Florida and Minnesota. And they put the site under contract. They went through all the planning process, the approvals with the city of Milwaukee, and only to find that the Medicaid reimbursement level in Milwaukee County and most of the counties, except for Dane County, because they're managed care counties, wherever that means, they had to back out of the deal, left $50,000 on the table, not to mention all the plans and environmental reports and, you know, everything that they were ready to move forward with. But their lender told them that they couldn't move forward because the Medicaid reimbursement level in Milwaukee County was just too low.
Huh. Otis, a comment from you.
The Medicaid rates from our part of the department is something that we generally do not address. We communicate with our colleagues in our Medicaid division almost on a daily basis, and understand that there are some concerns with how providers, the level at which providers are reimbursed for their services. For individuals that are planning to build a facility, and if they're planning to serve publicly funded consumers, in their best interest to start checking that information out as part of their planning process, so they can see if what are the rates being paid now, and will that be sufficient for them to manage their business. We're seeing in some situations that yes, the rates are being adjusted, and individual organizations are having to decide whether or not then they want to enter the market.
Now, it's It's too bad that that has to happen, but I guess they need for planning. You need to have it. Bob, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I can also understand, you know, if you're a developer and you spend all that money and then it's not going to work out. It's probably a lesson they didn't want to have to learn that way they learned it. Bob, thanks again. I want to go to another Bob in West Wisconsin next. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hey, I got a question. I'm looking for more for guidance for my mother. She can. Where do I go to figure out what kind of care center she needs?
Well, like I said, first I think I would start with your Aging and Disability Resource Center. Not sure which community you're from, but that would be one entry point, and they could give you some guidance. If you're looking and have specific facilities in mind, you can go to one of these three trade associations I talked about, and also the DHS website. On the DHS website, if you go there, there is an alpha listing across the top, and you click on A, it gets you to assisted living. And
Department of Health Services.
Department of Health Services. And there is a guide on there that Otis is actually showing me right now called Choosing an Assisted Living Facility. So I can let Otis talk about that. But in terms of the three trade associations, the Wisconsin Assisted Living Association, you could Google that and go to their consumer area. And I believe Leading Age Wisconsin and Wisconsin Healthcare Association also have consumer areas that you can Google and find options for your family member.
Yeah. Otis, you want to expand it?
Sure. We put together this document several years ago to help consumers make determination on where they want their loved ones to live. And it walks you through a series of questions and really encourages you to visit some of the facilities in your area or in the area in which your loved one is going to be staying, and really vet those facilities as best you can. Bob is correct at contacting the Aging and Disability Resource Center. If you have additional questions, our Board on Aging, our Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, have resources that can assist you and guide you through some of those selection processes. We have information on the department's website about inspection results that once you identify a facility, you can go on our website and look and see how their recent inspections have gone.
Oh. So,
excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate your call. And as we said, the costs of, you know, the various services, I know as I'm reading, I mean, you might have a situation where you just need somebody to come in once in a while for a couple of hours or whatever. And that's going to be a lot less than...
For the three residential programs we offer, the adult family home, the community-based residential facility, and the resident care apartment complex, pretty much you're going to have caregivers that are there to help. Individuals that want to stay in their home, they're not going to go to an assisted living facility. You have home personal care that can come in and help do help them cook, clean their house, help them with bathing, with dressing. But those are individuals who choose to remain at their home and receive those supports in home.
Yeah. Julie in Madison, your turn. Hi, Julie.
Hi there. I came in late on this, so I'm not sure if you've touched on this yet or not, but there is an organization called A Place for Mom. And I don't know if you've hit on that yet or not, but it's available to people. It's free. It helps you kind of go through all the muddy waters of finding a place for your parent. And I did work with a couple that were looking to go into assisted living. And this person who I called, and he was local. They had a local person in Sun Prairie, actually, that was able to help them go through all this. And they were very satisfied with his attention and his information. And now... actually, the person that just put me on the phone, she said that Joan London, I think it is, or Ludden, she used to be on Good Morning America or something like that, that she advertises it. But I can't tell you that much more about it, but I just know that it was free to people and it was really
helpful. Yeah, thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you for bringing that up. That is true. There is that a place for mom, and there are other. They're called senior placement agencies. So, you know, if you're looking for a place, you can utilize a service like that. There's more than just a place for mom. There are several of those types of placing companies.
And thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. You could still join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Christine posted on Facebook that her mom was in assisted living in Prairie du Chien, and the caregivers were so kind and compassionate. The meals, the activities, and the other residents were, it was sort of just like family for her. And Christine's mom lived there until she was over 100 years old.
You know, she brings up a good point, too, that I had thought I should make, and that is when looking for assisted living for your family member, you know, do what she did. Go and look at the facility, talk to the caregivers. You know, one thing I often thought for my own parents is that, you know, shiny and new is nice, and it can be beautiful, and you can have a great experience. But you should also look at even some of the older facilities, because if those staff there, like the woman who's talking about Prairie du Chien, treat your dad or your mom like a member of their family, you know, what more would you want?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really glad that you sent that. Well, the number, as we said, the number of older Americans is going to grow significantly. From an assisted living perspective, are we ready for that influx?
It's a very good question. We have, from our perspective, looked at the great increase in the number of facilities that have grown in Wisconsin since the mid 90s. It's really a dramatic increase in the numbers. We're up to 4,000, and just during the mid 90s, we're down into the maybe low 1,000, but now it's really exploded as far as the availability of the capacity. We believe for the number of facilities we are ready. Concerns, naturally, and the governor's put together a commission on looking at that, and that is the workforce. We have a shortage of workers and across our facilities. So that's our biggest concern right now, is how can we get individuals interested into the profession, the caregiving profession, because we're going to have the number of individuals who are going to need services. By 2025, that number is going to explode.
Are there training programs, vocational training or other type of university or college training, Otis?
Yes, there are. We have a contract with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay for caregiver training for community-based residential facilities. And UWGB is doing a fantastic job. It's statewide training. Their training programs, individuals can register for those programs online for program in their area. We have also for the skilled nursing facilities, but we understand that certified nursing assistants that are primarily working in home health hospital, a number of assisted living facilities are hiring certified nursing assistants. They are not required to. Those are individuals that receive training different than what an assisted living caregiver is receiving from our University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. So you have two avenues. Become a CNA that allows you to work across many environments, or if you want to just remain in the assisted living environment, that caregiver training that the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay offers. But we have a workforce shortage, and that's something that we've been discussing for a number of years. And how are we going to meet the needs of a growing population if we don't get more and more? And so we're exploring high school programs. There are a number of them popping up, looking at flexibility and what we can do from the regulatory community. And say, okay, we know that there's a need for workers. What can we do? What flexibility can we provide to help encourage a growth in the numbers?
Yeah, how can we get those young kids interested in working in assisted living? You know, that's really the key.
For more information on this whole thing, including even complaints, how to file a complaint, or your websites probably are the best places to go in the last 20 seconds here or so.
As Bob indicated, you can go to the department's website at dhs.wisconsin.gov, and there is a a click on for filing a complaint. I believe it's on the right side. Otherwise, you can put in the search bar, complaint, and then the type of facility that you are looking to file a complaint. You can file it online. We have an 800 number, or you can call our offices directly.
And for all that information, we have links to both your services up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Otis Woods and Bob Lightfoot. Otis from the Division of Quality Assurance at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Bob, a shareholder in Reinhold's Healthcare Practice. Thanks for being with us, and please stay with us.